Hello, my name is Dr. Frank Clark, and I'm a board certified psychiatrist with Prisma Health in Greer, South Carolina. And I additionally serve as clinical associate professor for the University of South Carolina School of Medicine in Greenville. I'm so excited to welcome our viewers to our inaugural episode of Psyched Perspectives, which will give us a glimpse of perspectives that will be shared by experts in the field of psychiatry who are very passionate about various topics that will help foster improvement and health outcomes for our patients and for our profession. Thank you to Psychiatric Times for coming up with the idea for this video series. And we will get started with our inaugural guest, a good friend and colleague of mine, Dr. Jessica Obersekra, who is a board certified psychiatrist who is also boarded in addiction medicine recently. And she is also based at Prisma Health in Greer, South Carolina. Dr. Obersekra is a graduate from Brown University, where she did her medical school training in addition to her residency training. She also serves as the clinical assistant professor at the University of South Carolina School of Medicine. Dr. Obersekra is passionate about teaching and scholarly activity, and she is poised in her position to really invest in residents and medical students in her role as associate program director for our program here in Greer, South Carolina. Clinically, I love working with her as well because she is one of the experts in the field as it relates to addiction medicine and reproductive psychiatry. So, Dr. Obersekra, thank you so much for joining us for this series. And I am so excited to talk with you more about your passion as it relates to paternal leave and mental health.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me. And this is one of my favorite topics. And so when you gave me the opportunity to get to talk about parental leave and mental health, I couldn't say no.
Well, I appreciate you and appreciate your friendship and just all that you do for our program and for our staff and most importantly for your patients. For me, anytime I'm talking about a topic that I'm passionate about, there's usually a story behind the why we do what we do. And so I was wondering if you could tell me the why behind why you're so passionate about paternal leave.
For me, I think that as I started working doing reproductive psychiatry, meaning treating pregnant and postpartum patients, and working with people at other times of reproductive transition, there's a lot of themes that come up around anxiety, and we hear a lot about anxiety around the pregnancy or the baby or relationship with partner or the older kids. And you know this because, of course, we supervise this
Yes,
clinic together. But another theme that I started noticing coming up a lot was this theme around work. And in pregnancy, I had a few patients that really stick in my mind that thought that they were going to be getting, like, just assumed that they were going to get to go on a maternity leave and found out pretty far along in their pregnancy that actually they didn't have maternity leave benefits. And it was this massive stressor, huge scramble to figure out, how long can I afford to take away from work? How long can I take away without being fired? Should I quit my job and then apply for a new job? What happens to my benefits if I do that? And it was this really just a really big focus. And that came up a few times for patients with me. And then after delivery, there's a lot of conversation around when am I going to come back to work? Or maybe they know when they're coming back and they're feeling kind of anxious about that. There's a lot of logistics in the transition. Am I going to be too sleep deprived? How about will the baby take a bottle? What about childcare? The financial piece. And so the more interested I became in this, the more probably I started interviewing for it and asking about it. And I started looking in the literature to see what was available. And that's really what sparked this interest for me.
It's very fascinating. I'm a father and I know you're a mother, and it's something that I wasn't really cognizant of or mindful of it's kind of one of those forgotten topics, right? We think
Yeah.
about so much when it comes to reproductive psychiatry, and we're screening for anxiety and depression and psychosis and what have you. But
Right.
then there is the other part of that. I kind of almost think about the biopsychosocial
Yes.
model of reproductive psychiatry.
Yes, exactly. I think there's the really fascinating everything that's happening hormonally in the reproductive transition, right? And then there's all the psychological aspects. But then there's really important systems pieces, which I think sometimes we forget to look at, and it really impacts how people are doing.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad that you are at the center of this research, and I know you have presented on paternal leave at ADPART as it relates to residency training. I know you've given grand rounds on this topic. I'm curious for our listeners if you could talk about in what ways do what is the current way that people take paternal leave in the U.S.
Parental.
Parental, excuse me, parental
Yes.
leave.
Right. So in the US, our national policy is FMLA. It's the Federal Medical Leave Act. It was enacted in 1993. And it is, I think there's a lot of misunderstandings among clinicians about FMLA. So let me just take a moment to
Sure.
kind of talk about it. It gives you unpaid leave. It really protects your job and gives you unpaid leave. But there's some really important criteria that have to be met. You have to have worked for the employer for a certain amount of time, a certain amount of hours. The employer has to be big enough. And so, actually, in 2018, only 56% of US employees were eligible for FMLA. So, FMLA gives you unpaid leave. In terms of paid leave, there isn't a national policy for this. And so different people, kind of piece this together in different ways. So some people work for a company that offers a paid leave policy. Some people live in states that have state policies around this. Some people can use like dis a disability insurance. People might use sick time, save up their vacation time. So there's kind of this sort of you piece together the different puzzle pieces to create what you're going to do for your individual leave.
And I would think, depending on the financial stability of homes and what type of occupations individual has, that's going to vary, right? Because
Yeah.
so there can be some disparities there, I would think, in terms of who might be able to take a longer leave versus someone who might, want to take a longer leave, but due to
Yeah.
different barriers, they can only take a shortened leave as it relates to,
Maybe. Yeah.
parental.
No, absolutely. So actually, there's two pieces of research that come to mind when you say this. One is that your families that make less money are less likely to qualify for FMLA. And then the other thing is with unpaid leave, when you see unpaid leave expansions, the people who benefit from that psychologically are people who can afford to take more unpaid leave. So it's really sort of a luxury to be able to take more time not getting paid away from work. So absolutely, there is a really important intersection here with your socioeconomic status.
Well, and that brings me to my next question. We always think about the mental health aspects of, it's what we do as every day, right? We treat the whole body. But I was curious if you could touch on what have you seen in your practice, but also the research behind the link between parental leave and mental health. I know we've talked about the importance of attachment and bonding, and I have to think that there is some literature out there that talks about why it's important to have maybe a certain duration of parental leave that would be, beneficial not only for the mom or father, but also the baby.
So that's been actually really exciting to see that research blossom over the last few years. There have been some meta-analyses and systematic reviews in the last year or two that have been really great. And it is so if I break the research down into unpaid and paid leave, the unpaid leave is kind of shows mixed findings. It's not really clear if you see a great benefit. Again, maybe because people can't really afford to take it. But the paid leave, we're seeing that there's an association between increased generosity of leave, meaning increased pay and duration, associated with reduced postpartum depression. And so you mentioned kind of an ideal time. And that's, I don't think we have studies that have very entirely clearly answered that, but there have been several studies using 12 weeks as a cutoff. and finding that leave less than 12 weeks is associated with the increased risk of depression, postpartum depression, and greater than 12 weeks with a reduced association. And it's also the other kind of cool part here is that it gets your work attitude and your work experience, and also your faith in your childcare
Yes.
that you have also impact all of this, right? So, for example, it seems like probably having less than 12 weeks is associated with postpartum depression. But when you're looking at greater than 12 weeks, let's say the 4 month mark, there was a paper showing that if you really miss your job and you really want to go back to work, that it's probably better from a mental health perspective to turn around and get back to work around
Sure.
that 4 month mark,
Right.
right? If you're someone who really wants to remain at home and the only reason you're returning to work is because you are need to for financial reasons, then that returning to work at 4 months seems like it's associated with increased depression, right? So I think that there's probably a minimum time that most people can benefit from, which maybe is 12-ish weeks. And then beyond that, I think it becomes, nuanced and really depends on your personal financial situation, your job situation, your family situation, and all these other factors that make psychiatry interesting.
A lot of variations there.
Yeah.
Do you think that a lot of industries, whether it be the restaurant industry or the medical industry, are aware of this data, even legislators for that matter? Because that's meta-analysis, obviously very research-based and high evidence with that 12-week mark. I mean, and I know this differs across different countries, but in the U.S. we don't do a good job as it relates to parental leave. And so I'm
Yeah.
curious, like from an advocacy standpoint, what would you want to embolden like individuals to do to advocate for better parental leave, especially knowing this data that you just presented to us?
Yeah, it's hard for me to say how well known this is. I think probably what needs to happen is a partnership between people who know the mental health data and also people who are looking at the economic piece of it, because I think that I love to talk about the mental health part of it, but I'm not fluent with the economic impact
Sure.
on a business. And I think that if I was going to advocate at an employer level or a state level or federal level, that that people also very much care about the economic impact on
Right.
this. And so I think that this partnership and awareness of I think people care about having healthy families. I think reduction in maternal morbidity and mortality is a high priority. And also people care about their business is not going under,
Sure.
as they're offering increased benefits. And so I think that both need to really be looked at to make movement.
Yeah, sounds like there needs to be a fellowship between the business side of the economic side, as well as looking at the costs that of somebody returning maybe earlier than they needed to, and versus having
Right.
that time and looking at the complications that could occur
Right,
from it.
right. And I'm getting a little bit out of my scope here, but I think that some pieces to look at would be things like the costs with presenteeism, absenteeism, and then the costs with employee turnover. And so I think that I would be really curious to know if depending on what's going on with your parental leave policy, if you have a lot of people maybe just quitting
Right.
and then looking for re-entering the labor market in a different position versus employee retention, right? So I don't know the answers to that, and I think I'm sure that there's people who can speak very eloquently about it. And if any of them are listening and want to partner with me on talking about this, please reach out to
Sounds like
me.
a fresh article brewing here. So my last question for you, again, you are such a stalwart in the community, especially when it comes to reproductive psychiatry. I know that you always want to make sure that your patients are well informed and have all of the information to make the best decision for them and their families moving forward. So how should we as mental health professionals be, well, one question, one, should we be talking about this? I'm sure the answer is yes, but how do we talk about this with our patients?
Yeah.
And are there any particular resources that you think as mental health professionals we can share with them as it relates to parental leave so that they have all the information at their fingertips?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it is worth talking about with our patients and talking about early on. One thing being that, they might assume that they're going to have parental leave because their coworker had parental leave, but maybe they haven't been at that employer for quite as long and they don't qualify, right? So just kind of encouraging people to figure out what their leave actually is for them as well as their partner and coming up with a plan. And, I think that there's really clear evidence that sleep is really critical in the postpartum period. And, thinking about how leave of the patient and their partner impact, what kind of intersects with their sleep is important. There's new medications like zuranolone, which, because it can be sedating, ideally, I'd love it if my patients can have help overnight when they're taking that medication. So, again, awareness of what their parental leave and their partner's parental leave looks like, I think is important for things like coming up with a medication plan. So I think talking about it openly, frequently, I think is important because it's impacting our patients, whether or not we're talking about it. So I think understanding it and how it's impacting them can be really helpful.
I like what you said there, talking openly and freely. And our patients come to our clinics, our ERs, our hospitals, and wanting to know that they have a safe space. And what better way to have those conversations in a trusted environment? So I'm going to leave with that. But any last minute pearls that you would like to share with our listeners?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I think the talking openly and freely and advocacy is what I'm hearing. So, well, thank you so much, Dr. Obaseki. I enjoyed the fellowship. I enjoyed learning more about why this topic is so passionate, why you're so passionate about this topic. And I appreciate all the work that you're continuing to do to advocate again for our communities. And thank you for being again our inaugural guests on Psych Perspectives. And I hope that our listeners are psyched to hear more guests that we will have in the subsequent months. Again, I'm Dr. Frank Clark. It's a pleasure to be with you today. And I hope that you enjoyed our inaugural episode. And again, thank you, Dr. Obaseki.
Thank you.
This podcast is presented by Psychiatric Times, the number one psychiatric publication in the U.S. Visit us at psychiatrictimes.com for the latest clinical news, expert perspectives, and CME opportunities. Thank you for listening.